Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 10, Heroes Lost and Found, Issue 1, with foes like these. On the cover, a lighthouse divided. On one side, a beam of yellow light illuminates the city skyline. On the other, a purple vortex emanates from the lighthouse. A lone figure climbs the side of the tower. Our comic starts with an inside panel. It's a flashback ad in black and white. Two kids sitting on a seesaw in a playground. And the one at the top has his head thrown back, and he's drinking from a glass bottle in one of those kind of like a Coke ad, you know, he's drinking. So we see his head tilted back with his lips to the bottle, and the caption reads, "For a limited time only, Corn Fanta. The fuel for your summer." In small letters at the bottom of the page, the disclaimer reads, "Do not drink Corn Fanta during physical activities or exercise." Our first panel is Puck running in the dark. He's running and panting and sprinting faster and faster, and we see the beads of sweat dripping down his face. His hood has gone back, and he's not wearing his mask. It's just John running in the dark. We see a black background behind him with the captions of laughter, like ha 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 and cackles and I see you, where are you, Puck? And next we see two yellow eyes glowing in the dark. Then we see John's eyes wide with terror, beads of sweat on his brow, heavy panting. And then abruptly on the next page, we see Puck sitting up suddenly in his lighthouse where he's fallen asleep. His fairies have gathered around him and have formed sort of a cage to protect him in his sleep. And he was just laying on the floor. He fell asleep doing some work. So as he sits up and sees his fairies, he looks around for the source of his awakening and sees his phone lying on the floor next to him, buzzing with a new text message from Alina.
Oh, boy.
What would you send to John if you were looking for him? Because last we left, you guys have had sort of some stuff going on. Maybe you need to check in.
It'll just be a text saying, "Are you absolutely positive you can't come over and help me with Mind Shot tonight?"
John would grab his phone kind of groggily and it would probably take him a moment to like shake out of that weird nightmare. And he would text back, "Yeah, sorry, not going to work out tonight either."
Has John been like kind of reclusive about this?
A little bit. I don't know if he's been super reclusive about hanging out with his friends, but he has probably not been participating in a lot of the superheroing type stuff. He's got a lot of excuses recently.
Does that answer satisfy you, Alina? You were the person who saw him last, and okay. You know that he's dealing with some stuff, and when he tends to do that, he tends to separate. So I just wanted to check in and see if...
Okay, so no, that's not a sufficient answer. It's okay for him to be not available to help, but he's been avoiding me, and I don't know why. So I'm not going to text or reply. I'm just going to head over towards the lighthouse.
Nice. So we get a beautiful outside shot, like full page color splash of the lighthouse. And it's beautiful. We see the shoreline and the stars, and it's like a gorgeous night. And we see this little figure of Alina walking up towards the lighthouse. Do you have anything with you? Did you bring anything?
I've just got my basic messenger bag and my domino mask.
And then on the next page, we see sort of... John's face in his lighthouse, and we see the knock knock script on the door to indicate someone is knocking.
So John will open the door and see that it's Alina and immediately just kind of like panic for a second and be like, he'll say, "Are you okay? You made it up all right?" Like, I know there's a kind of a... He points and there's like a big area where you have to like kind of jump or climb up a weird like rickety rope ladder. because the stairs have kind of fallen out. And we said it was you had to climb along the outside of the lighthouse, mm-hmm. Where the stairs on the interior had fallen apart. And so he's always really concerned when people try to climb up without him knowing or being there to help.
Alina grabs the door frame with one hand above her, and she just does a pull up with one hand and then sort of dunks over him into the lighthouse. Yeah, I was fine.
All right. And John's going to take a moment and just like take a breath, close the door behind them and turn around. Be like, what's up?
Well, I mean, you've been kind of, let's say, incommunicado. I wanted to make sure everything was all right.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be okay. It's not every day that you look at the thing that's going to kill you and then walk away from it. And it got real. So when I share vulnerability or weakness with someone, I give them influence over me and ask them if they honestly think that there's hope for me. So
I think Alina
already has influence over me.
Yep.
So you are going to shift my labels.
I'm going to shift your freak down, superior up.
And then you also tell me, do you think that there's hope for Puck?
Are you looking at him like, oh God, I feel so sorry for this guy. He's really drowning here. Or are you looking at him like, this is just a rough patch. He's going to get through it.
It's pretty much all right, well, this is what we have to work with now. So it's sort of like accepting that this is the situation, but not accepting that this is how it's going to be from now on.
Right. And is this any different than how you would feel about any other member of your team if they had had a really rough patch?
Probably not.
Yeah. I would say that means she does have hope for you.
So you do have hope for Puck? Yeah. That's how you've answered in the past.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so when you say yes, I mark potential or clear one box of my doom track. And I am going to mark potential. And so John says, like, it just got very real. Like the gaze of the trickster is always on me, and it's always real. But it got really real in a way that was different.
Well, I'm glad that you see it that way, because sometimes I just feel like nobody realizes we're playing with live ammo around here.
Oh, I always know we're playing with live ammo, but it's a difference. It's the difference between knowing and then firing the gun.
And as you're sitting here in this like beautiful silence, you guys make eye contact, and it's like in this moment you get each other on a level that nobody else on your team is able to like meet with you at, because you've been through stuff together at this point, right? And you're just kind of looking at each other, and it's a beautiful night and the stars are shining, and suddenly John gets a splitting pain in his head, like nails on a chalkboard, screaming, like a drilling pain, which fights your ability to see straight, and you crumple down to the floor, and you're just like holding your head, screaming.
Yeah, probably all the fairies go kind of nuts.
Yeah, I imagine them like that radio frequency that only dogs can hear, and they're just freaking out.
They're also literally a projection of his mind.
Yes, absolutely.
They're psychic constructs. We always forget that.
As you struggle with the sudden pain, we get a panel of the wall behind you opening up into a huge swirling vortex. It's black, and it looks like it has lightning inside it. So it's sparking and fizzing, and it looks dangerous. Like if you stuck a fork in an outlet, this is what's happening, but huge. Jeez. And it has a gravitational pull. Oh, no. And it begins to pull you, Alina, and everything else in the room toward it.
My poor lighthouse.
Oh, you feel it. Shit. Yeah, you feel it threatening to engulf you.
Well, I'm panicking, first of all. Second of all, I'm going to try and get a firm grip on a shoulder or a hand or a leg of Puck's and look for something else that I can anchor myself with.
Everything in the room is moving.
Well, then
hold on to each other for dear life?
Yeah, so there's probably as much as he can through the pain of the headache. He's sending out like commands to the fairies and to his like full size assistant John, hybrid fairy thing. To like they are making little fairy chains. And new ones are spawning when he needs them to. And they're trying to, like, grab onto each other and grab onto the furniture and grab onto any piece of, like, thing that's moving around. And just try to hold it still so that nothing's going to, like, fly and hit anybody.
I'm going to ask you to roll to and unleash your powers for that one.
All right. Plus freak is one, so 11.
11? Great, that happens. The fairies start to align and they're going to reach out and hold their little fairy arms and they're trying to reach toward you, but the best that they can do in staying close to you is kind of making a cage around you. They're trying to hold on to things, but that gravity is way too strong for them. So in a last-ditch effort, they try to protect you. Does that sound right?
Yeah, they weren't necessarily trying to hold on to me, though, just this like stuff.
The stuff.
Yeah, no, they weren't trying. John wasn't trying to save himself.
Oh, okay. He's trying to save your stuff.
Yeah.
Got it. The two of you holding hands, holding on to each other in some capacity, surrounded by little fairy Johns, get pulled into this black, spiky, electric vortex.
Oh, God.
And as you're twirling, John can hear, but Alina can't. Where are you, John? Where are you? I see you. Come out and play.
Oh, God.
And then everything goes black.
Yeah.
And quiet. And both of you hit the ground hard. Take a powerful blow.
Oh, fuck. Ooh. So that's a 9.
Yeah. So on a 7 to 9, you choose one. And Jess, do you want to do yours? We can resolve them both simultaneously.
Yeah.
Okay. 9.
You both got 9. So on a 7 to 9, choose one. You lash out verbally and provoke a teammate. You give ground, your opposition gets an opportunity, or you struggle past the pain and mark 2 conditions.
I'm leaning towards lashing out verbally.
Yeah, I think we both lash out verbally at each other, and then immediately we both do something really stupid.
Yeah. After they land, there's just like this moment where they're both like, oh, God, my whole body hurts. And John is just gonna like immediately get up, and his eyes just go huge, and he's just scrambling around. He's looking, and he's got this like crazy paranoid look on his face. And he turns to Alina, and he's just like, this is what I was trying to avoid. This is what I was trying to hide from. And you brought, like, you were there then.
And hey, listen here, buddy. Portals are your thing, not my thing.
And so what John is trying to do is take advantage of his influence over you and mark guilty.
I am going to grab your wrist, pull it behind your back, and push you face to the towards a brick wall.
Yeah.
And say, listen, I had nothing to do with this. So maybe you could think back to the past 5 seconds of chaos we just had there and maybe think about what just fucking happened. And then is that foolish enough to be assaulting my team member?
Oh, yeah, you're assaulting him. And as you're fighting and as you have him pushed up against the side of the building, you notice a couple of things. One, it's daytime. It was not daytime previously. It is a beautiful spring day. Second, you are on a sidewalk outside a brick building, which you have now shoved your friend up against. Third, there are tons of people now looking at you, publicly fighting in the street. And as you look around at them, you notice they are not dressed of this time. You recognize some of the fashions as things you might have heard about or seen. They're wearing like big bell skirts and like big collars, some pastel colors. Everybody's very nicely dressed. It's a very nice looking scene. And then the readers notice that all of the comics have now been switched to not exactly black and white, but it's that black and white with the subtle hint of colors in some of the places. So we know that something has changed significantly. And as you have John pinned up against the side of this building, somebody comes running up to you and they're like, whoa, hey, I don't know you guys, but I think something's going on here and I just want to say hi. Can I help here? Are you okay? Do you know each other? Is he okay? Who are you? What's going on? Can I help?
And John is going to just, like, after a moment of being pinned against this building, just, like, brush you off very easily. Because he has super strength. And so you were able to get the drop on him because he was freaking out. But he's not freaking out as much anymore.
Oh, yes. He's very strong.
Are you okay? Is this woman hurting you? Are you okay?
He's fine.
Good. Are you okay?
I'm fine. And I'm Alina. What's your name?
Oh my gosh, nice to meet you. Are you from around here? My name is Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. You guys look lost, and I'm really liking your clothes, but man, you look different.
Yeah, I kind of noticed we kind of stick out, don't we?
Yeah, but in like a cool way. I don't know if you know, but you're bleeding. And she points at John, and you have blood coming out your ears.
Oh, no.
Hey, that doesn't look so good.
He's going to pull up his hood and just kind of like cover it up and be like, don't. It's not. It's fine.
I feel like that's not the way to deal with an injury.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
No, trust me. It's my job. And we kind of pull back and we get a full panel of like the whole ridiculous scene that's going on here. So we have like some gorgeous like brick buildings, like 4-story brick buildings with like arches and a huge, beautiful clock tower. 2 big flagpoles. One of them has a flag of a sigil that you've never seen before. And the other one has the United States of America flag. And you're looking around and it's like very clear that you are not in Kansas anymore, Toto, right? And you look to this girl and she's wearing all white. She's got this really cute dress on with like a peplum. She has very dark skin and really cute little kind of crazy braids. They're not like long. They're very like kooky. She has big, bright brown eyes that look like curious and just so excited to see you. And like she said, her name is Phyllis. So she's looking at your wounds and you have to trust her because she's saying too. But you need to get that checked out. That does not look good. I can help you.
Yeah, I think we should at least... Where's the nearest pharmacy?
Oh, no. You don't want to go there. They're not going to help you. Come with me.
Where are we going with you?
It's fine. I'm going to take you to see one of my friends. He's really good, and he has a back room that he lets me kind of work out of sometimes. I promise it's a better option than going to the hospital, especially for your friend who looks like he doesn't actually want to go anywhere. So I feel like this is a good midpoint. Let's figure out why you're bleeding, and in the meantime, we can get to know each other a little bit.
Alina has started scanning the crowd, and they are starting to murmur. And I think she's getting a little paranoid, and she's feeling exposed. We look weird. We don't fit in. And even though this is weird that someone is showing such kindness up front, our best option is to use her to get out of the situation we're in currently.
So you'll come?
Come on.
Great.
John's just gonna like, he's gonna find a small stone or something like that and just kick it really, really hard.
Oh. Let's not do that. I don't know what's going on with you guys. I'm not sure where you're from exactly, what town in High Shore. I would keep that kind of activity to a minimum. Does that make sense?
All right. Sure.
Awesome.
John's not going to say anything.
All right. I'm pulling your hood down.
Okay, guys. Come with
me.
And
you're
it's
pulling
fine.
It back up.
Yeah.
And I'm pulling it back down.
Yeah. And there's a couple panels of us just like fighting over whether or not his hood's going to be down or up.
Perfect.
And it's going to be up.
So we get a panel of you two kind of schoolyard following Phyllis, and she's like jovially walking with her head up, like she's smelling all these spring smells and she's excited about everything that's going on. And you two are just look not thrilled to be there. John looks downright pissed to be there. And Alina's like, you're dealing with some stuff, I would imagine. What are you doing while you're watching and pulling his hood down?
Again, it's a lot of scanning, a lot of like really just smoothing out her clothes that just look really, really out of place because they're crumpled, they're rumpled, and I'm wearing pants. I've got dust and dirt all over me, and I've got, so I'm, you know, smoothing out my hair. I'm trying to look more presentable, or at least not stick out so much.
And so as we were kind of like walking, and John is kind of lingering to the back, and Alina's probably walking behind John to make sure that he's walking.
Yeah.
But when there is a moment when no one, like as John is kind of like looking around at everybody and no one is really like looking directly at them, he's just going to like summon a little fairy as sort of inconspicuously as he can, maybe like a half size one.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like underhand it up onto the top of a nearby building and send it off to try to like figure some stuff out about like if it can figure out where they are.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers, please.
So that's 10 plus 1, so 11 again. So yeah, so I guess he successfully like is able to, as they're walking down the street, he just kind of puts his hand on with the little fairy, mini fairy on a lamppost, and then it just like climbs up by itself, mm-hmm. and just sits up on top of the lamppost and is looking around.
Cool. So this little fairy thing climbs up the top of the lamppost and sits there. And as it looks down, it can see basically a town square. You see a city hall. You see steps that lead up to city hall. The pole that your little fairy has climbed up is sort of in the center of like a circular pathway with branches that come out of it, kind of leading down the different sections of town. You're walking towards... You're in sort of the center-ish of town, but you're headed out of it. You're headed down one of those wheel spokes, as mm-hmm. it were, down a side street. The buildings all look pretty mundane. You don't see anything that stands out as, like, really weird or anything like that. But it kind of reminds you of Protean City in a way, but not exactly. Mm-hmm. City Hall is sort of in the same place that it would have been. The post office is sort of in the same place. But you don't see any, like, hero activity. You don't see anybody else calling attention to heroing in that way. It doesn't have any of the landmarks of Protean City. The Striped Eagle statue isn't there. Mm-hmm. Like, you're missing a lot of key players for it to be Protean City.
Yeah.
But it reminds you sort of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I'm going to start trying to find out more about where we're at with Phyllis.
Okay.
Phyllis, I must have missed the sign on our way in town. Can you tell me where we are exactly?
Oh, yeah, totally. The sign actually got blown down, so it's not even your fault that you missed it. You're in High Shore.
Okay, High Shore.
Yeah. So it's like kind of a, you know, your basic city. We have, you know, we have Town Hall. We have a really cool movie theater now. Got a dance hall that's been there a couple years. It's a little run down, but we all really love it. There's a roller rink up the street, and down the other way is a really great 24-hour diner. I have to take you there. Are you guys staying in town long?
Yeah, it kind of depends on a few things, but... it seems lovely. You know, I don't see why we wouldn't want to stay.
Oh, neat. I think you're really going to like it. Everybody's super nice.
So what do you do?
Oh, well, I just finished high school, and I'm just sort of, you know, helping my mom out. And, you know, I have some friends that I hang around with. And, you know, maybe we should talk about this a little bit more inside. We get like a panel of the street view as if it was from the party's perspective. And you see a little adorable sign hanging like from one of those banisters. So like the little hanging swinging signs. And it's pink with gold lame around the outside. And you can just sort of make out the caption on the sign. And a zoomed in panel shows us what it is. And it says, Libros Dulces. And you pull up to the door, and Phyllis holds the door open for you. Come on, guys, go inside. And you hear the little ding-ding of, like, alerting the shopkeeper that you're there.
When they get to the door, John is going to make like a really big show of holding the door open and like inviting her to walk in first so that he's the last one through. And then as he like turns around to like back into the door, he's just going to throw another little fairy up onto the sign to sit out there and watch and just be on patrol.
Perfect. And you walk inside, and on your left-hand side, you see a counter laid out next to you. And on the counter are all these glass jars that are full of those really decadent candies from years past before we had cheap, you know, mass-produced things. Each of these candies was hand-rolled, hand-wrapped, and they're sitting in a little jar that says 1 cent, 2 cent candies, and they're all lining this counter. And across the back of the wall behind the counter, you see rows and rows and rows of books. And then towards the back, you see more shelves full of books. So it's not a very big store. It's very long and narrow. But what there is full of books. So there's some candy at the counter, but the rest is just a book lover's paradise. So you guys get inside the store, and Phyllis just walks in like she knows exactly where she's going. She's looking for the shopkeeper, and she's saying, "Mr. Castillo! Mr. Castillo! Hello! Are you here?" And you see this older guy come out, and he looks exactly like a shopkeeper who ran like a soda bar would look. He's got like suspenders and like a nice sweater over top of a really nice button-down shirt, and it's kind of got his sleeves rolled up. And he's an older Latino man, and he's clearly very at home here. He probably spends more time here than he does at home. And he knows exactly who Phyllis is, but he looks at you two kind of a little strange. Hi, Phyllis. Hello? Who are you two?
And very out of character from the way that John has been acting since they got here, he's going to just like take a moment, and then he rubs his hands on his jeans, and then kind of just like stands up, straightens himself up, puts a really like what Alina can tell is a very forced smile on his face, and he's gonna say, "I'm John," and extend his hand for a handshake.
Oh, John, nice to meet you.
And when he shakes the man's hand, he's going to attempt to manipulate his memories. And just like all I like what he's trying
Rude.
To
do.
Yeah. He's trying to look into the guy's memories, not to change anything, but just to like, does the guy have memories? Is this a real person? What does he know? Like, is this like, cause John still thinks that they're maybe in like a virtual reality or a construct or something.
Fair.
Like,
yeah.
Or is this guy hiding something? What
this
does he know?
This is John's way of getting information without rolling to assess the situation.
Yes.
But you are going to roll to unleash your powers.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Cool. So you're going to do it. And as you hold his hand, tell us what it looks like when you're searching through somebody's memories, not to mess with them.
So unfortunately, we know what this looks like a little too well, because especially in the last episode.
Remind our readers.
It looks like a big kind of like smoky, dark void where he has this big like I've always described it as filing cabinet style, or like when you like when you use a digital device to like on Android, you can tell it to like show you all of the open apps at the same time. You can kind of flip through,
right?
It's that kind of a thing where he can see like little clips of videos of memories, and he can kind of like scroll through those and see what's going on. And
awesome.
So, yeah, so what he's looking for is things like, does he look like he's hiding anything? Are there any secrets? Are there any like scenes where he's hiding things or having secret meetings, or anything that would look out of place?
Right. So as you start to scroll, and if I remember correctly, it was like you had kind of simultaneous streams of different types of memories going. So you're going to see a lot of things, but they're all normal life stuff. You're going to see that he joined the military at a young age and he got hurt during basic training, so he had to come home. That he has a wife and 3 kids and 5 grandkids, and everything is... He invested his whole life savings into buying this bookstore. He spends all his time there. He loves his wife. One of his children tragically passed away, and you see that funeral and you see the heartbreak that it caused him. So you're basically reliving a lot of normal life memories. Mm-hmm. He has a full life, full of family, full of passions and work and history. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay.
Okay, so Alina is going to attempt to distract Phyllis from what's going on because it looks a little strange.
Yeah, because definitely you see Mr. Castillo, his eyes have like rolled back in his head a little bit, and he's looking a little dazed.
It's not super long, but if you were paying attention, you would notice.
Phyllis was definitely paying attention, so I would need some sort of roll to keep her from seeing this if you want to. Roll to provoke someone.
All right. 12.
All right. So they rise to the bait and do what you want. So how are you going to distract her?
Phyllis, I really like your dress. Where did you get it?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I actually got it at Macy's. It's new. I don't usually spoil myself and get new things, but I thought, hey, you know, why not?
And, so I'm sort of edging her towards the window and away from the gentleman. So, what's the situation around here? What do you do for fun?
Oh my gosh, that's what I was just telling you. Definitely go to the movies, and I have to take you to this diner. And she's interrupted by a thud as Mr. Casillo loses his balance during this whole thing and kind of hits the wall of books behind him, and a couple books fall off the shelf a little bit, and you hear a little rattle. It's not like super scary because he does have an injury in his leg. It's not uncommon that he loses his balance, but she definitely wants to make sure he's okay.
John will grab him and put his arm around him and be like, hey man, you okay?
Mr. Casillo, are you okay? And he's like, yes, I'm fine. He shakes it off.
John will be like, sorry, I've been told that sometimes my handshake is a little too firm.
It's a very firm handshake.
I come on a little strong. Sorry.
It's a good, strong handshake.
Just trying to make a good impression.
Yeah. Well.
New friends.
Very nice.
Impressions aside, I think my friend here may need some medical attention.
I see that. I think Phyllis should take you into the back and... Yes, that's what I was going to do. That's what I was hoping. Thank you so much. And come with me. And she kind of gets behind John and just starts to push him towards the back room.
I imagine there's probably a moment where John starts to fight it. And then Alina just gives him a death glare. And he's like, all right, this is not worth this fight. I'm just going to let it go.
Okay. So you make your way through this hallway of books that you're going towards, and you see a little door at the back room, and it says employees only. And you push the door open, because at this point you're first, because everybody's behind you forcing you to go. And you push the door open, and you see in front of you a big desk, and this desk has papers all over it and books. And in front of the desk, you see a person. This person seems to be about teenage years. You're only seeing kind of the back of their head. So you can see sort of long, dark hair and, the back of a chair. And Phyllis kind of comes around in front of you and she goes, guys, this is my friend, Ramon. I brought friends for you.
And so Ramon kind of jolts up a little bit. He's been very much in his books, and he turns around quickly and sees the two of you, and very quickly has to just kind of adjust his whole self, because his hair is sticking up a little bit in the front. He's got it greased because it's definitely a little bit wavier and out of control than he'd prefer it to be. So he runs his hands through it, smooths it back. He's wearing a dress shirt, like a very nice, crisp, plain dress shirt. None of the fancy modern sorts of things. But it's just wide open because he's just back here working. And so he's quickly trying to button it up, because it's totally inappropriate to be around other people with that.
There are ladies present.
Yeah. And he goes, geez, Phyllis, you could have warned me.
I did warn you. I just told you.
And we get a panel that shows his face, and he kind of gives like a bit of like a crooked grin. He's a like a handsome, bright faced youth.
Puck never messed around in adult wind shears.
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, okay.
You do recognize him. He was just in Mr. Castillo's memory. You saw baby Ramon growing up a little bit.
Okay. Right.
So I know that this man is connected, but it sounds like I wouldn't, in the memories, I didn't make the connection, but then as soon as I saw his eyes in real life, he paused and froze and immediately just like locks up and gets very tense.
Yeah, he doesn't have quite the anger that Windshear that you know has, but he just has like these really deep, dark brown eyes that feel kind of wan. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's the exact same feel for just a moment.
Yeah.
But then he like gives a smile and like pulls himself up and adjusts him, like kind of adjusts his shirt, makes sure it's looking all right. And he holds out his hand to John and says, "Hey, Ramon, nice to meet you."
And John will shake his hand, just like very quickly.
And now that the niceties are over, this guy is still bleeding, so we need to take care of that.
Oh, yeah. And I've actually got something for you, too. And he kind of like rubs at the back of his hand for a moment. And you can see he's got a bandage wrapped around his fist. And then he looks to Alina and he goes, "Hi, Ramon." And he seems like a little unsure whether, because he sees you like, you know, wearing pants and stuff and isn't sure if he should try to shake your hand.
Yeah.
So there's like a little moment of like hesitation. And then he just kind of gives like a awkward sort of wave.
"Hi, Ramon. My name is Alina.
Nice to meet you. Here, let's get this whole thing figured out."
So Phyllis runs behind John and she's like, with all her might, trying to shove his shoulders down and make him sit. And obviously that's not going to happen.
But she's sit down.
It's really comical. We get a panel of her trying to shove him into a chair. And she's like, "Come on, just sit. It's fine."
And that's when Alina interjects, "John, don't be a hero."
There's definitely a little panel of Ramon kind of like looking at that with a little bit of
panic.
Like, what was that? What was that? And also, I will say, like, definitely, we were saying that Puck would recognize Ramon's eyes, but
Alina, I would absolutely know.
Yeah.
His name is Ramon Castillo.
Yeah, yeah.
And got pictures of him going back because he's been a hero for years. Yeah. So, yeah, and this is a known quantity.
There may have been a time in Alina's life where his picture was under her pillow.
So John will John sit
sits. Down. John sits. And Phyllis
He's not
stands.
Taking his hood off, though.
Phyllis is going to take your hood off and you're going to let her.
Okay.
Because she looks like she knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to put her hands on either side of your head and there's going to be sort of a warm glowing light emitting from her hands, kind of spreading towards your head. And you're going to, you know, I'm sure that you're nervous. "Don't worry, this doesn't hurt. It just gets a little warm." And she holds her hands there, and as this light starts to kind of go in your ears and around your head, you start to feel kind of warm, but you also start to feel better. And the blood retracts and goes back up into your ears. Your body is repairing itself, and she's facilitating this. And you're starting to not only feel better, but the headache that you had kind of been feeling before has definitely dissipated, and you're feeling sort of kind of nauseous now because you've gone through a lot of pain pretty quickly, but you're better. Okay. She just healed you within a couple of seconds.
So John is going to turn around and probably grab her hands before she can really like take them back.
Ramon is like there. He's right up
and,
there,
and
fist pulled back.
He's not grabbing your hand, like not just like a like reaching up and grabbing them. And he's just gonna make eye contact with her, and mostly just looking at her, but maybe with a little bit of just like light probing of her memory. I want to try to pierce her mask.
Go for it.
So 4.
You got 4. That didn't work out for you.
Nope. So that's why. So I think that plays out pretty nicely then.
So you grab her hands and she's like, "Hey!" And Ramon runs up real quick and puts an end to that nonsense quickly.
Yeah, I think he just like there's a moment where he's got the fist And then, like, we get a little panel that shows sort of, like, a hesitation. And he just opens his hand and just, like, turns it and just, like, backhands you across the face. And, like, I know that you have the super strength.
Yeah.
But this guy hits pretty hard.
Yeah.
He doesn't have super strength levels, especially not using his air elemental stuff.
Guys.
Man, you keep your hands off her, all right?
Guys, just... it's okay. It's okay. Ramon, it's okay. We just met. He didn't know. I understand.
Listen, I think everybody needs to just calm down. Ramon, thank you for letting us use this space. And Phyllis, thank you for helping my friend. But I...
It's okay. I understand. You probably have tons of questions, but it just really wasn't safe to talk outside. And it is in here. So that's why I wanted to bring you here.
Why wouldn't it be safe to talk outside?
I'm going to explain. So I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that you guys are powered, right? Or at least he is. I saw that rock.
Yeah, I mean.
He's going to pull his hood back up.
And?
Ramon's going to go ahead and cross his arms. And he's got the sleeves rolled up. And he's like definitely doing that arm cross that shows off the muscles to kind of make sure he's trying to be as intimidating as possible.
So I was going to say that as he pulls up his hood to like just... In response to you're super powered too or whatever, and he's also just kind of like rubbing his face under the hood.
I can fix that for you if you want.
Listen,
no, it's fine. So I see that you two, or at least he is powered, and that's awesome. I'm also powered. My powers, I'm really good at healing people, and I'm super observant. So that's what I got, you know, kind of going on right now.
Nosy, more like.
It's sometimes. In general, though, I really try hard to help people. I like to, you know, to make people feel better. And there's not a lot of advanced medicine that I feel confident in right now. And at least when I know I'm doing it, I know that people are actually being healed. So I understand that that's very scary. But when you're outside, it's not a good idea to show your powers outright. There's very few people that are powered and that are able to use their powers for good.
Phyllis, they know all this.
Wait, hold on a second. You're saying that powers are not a good thing here.
It's not that they're not a good thing. It's just not a good thing to tell everyone about them.
Where are you from? The powers are a good thing.
Well, I mean, they can be good or they can be bad, just like anything else. It's just, I mean, where we're from, it's just kind of normal.
Where are you from?
And John's going to cut her off and just be like, hey, is there anywhere we could talk privately?
Yeah, we've got a little closet, if you'd like.
Yeah, I just need a moment to talk to my friend.
So we get this little panel of this. It's one of those half closets that's like got a slanted door and you definitely have to crouch to go in it. And it's sort of in the corner of the room. It's kind of in a shadow. So we get this really lovely panel of you two awkwardly trying to fit in there together and shut the door.
Yeah. And as soon as they get in and...
So you're very close to each other, P.S.
Yeah. Yeah. John is going to just kind of like look right at her and be like, that's who I think it is, right?
Yeah.
So that... is not good.
Well, I mean, if this place is what I think it is, it's not so much a where as it is a when.
Yeah.
So we haven't really fought Windshear yet.
Yeah.
Early on, Windshear was a hero like everybody else in the Gold Age.
Yeah. I poked around in the shopkeeper's memories a little bit. He at least thinks he's a real person with memories. The memories looked real enough. I don't think we're in some kind of simulation.
The thing that pulled us here.
Wasn't me. It wasn't the trickster. Or maybe. It wasn't like anything I'd seen.
I don't know. Maybe we're even in an alternate reality where Protean City didn't ever happen. But... It looks too familiar.
And as you're talking, you hear a knock, knock, knock on your door. Guys, I hate to interrupt. I'm sure it's important. But there's something going on outside I feel like you should see.
There's like an awkward moment as we're both like fumbling to like get out of this closet because it's small. And you are like, the way that I've envisioned this is like that Puck went in first and that you are sort of facing him. And so you can't quite like reach behind you and get the doorknob. And so Puck
there's has to, elbows
like,
in places.
There's elbows. And he has to like get really close to you for a moment and reach past you to unlock or to like turn the door handle. And there's like a moment where we're just very close.
We get this panel of zoomed in on John and Alina's faces, like really close to each other. And it's got that light coming from like the inside where we can just see like their lips and nose and eyes like staring deeply into each other's eyes. And you're like right there.
And then the closet door falls open.
And yeah, and Alina steps backwards.
You guys kind of tumble out of the closet together, and it's not cute, but you're out. And Ramon has run to the front of the bookshop already, and Phyllis is waiting for you, and she's like, come on, it's okay, come on. So you go out into the main space of the bookshop, and you see that Mr. Castillo has the radio on. And he's sort of around it. And Ramon is also kind of oriented around it as well. Kind of in the way that we would a TV, they are to this radio. They're watching the radio, right? And we get a radio broadcast that we've kind of interrupted. It's already going. High Shore authorities tell us the man showed up a few hours ago and has shown no signs of hostility or violence. However, the humming is starting to unnerve some city residents. Police are keeping a close watch on the man, and we will keep you posted on any further developments. Thanks for listening to 99.7 WHSR. The radio broadcast kind of fizzles out, and we get some regular commercials coming on for like Tide detergent and Coca-Cola, and you're kind of left looking at each other. This is not how villainy usually goes down in Protean City. Usually when a villain shows up in Protean City, it's like ominous. They show up right now and they're in Protean City and you can see them and it's bad. And you can pretty much identify why it's bad. This is just a dude. And you at this point don't know anything about this man, just that he's humming and making people a little bit uncomfortable.
Is he humming loudly? Is he humming a tune that they don't like?
No, nope. It's like a monotone to himself.
Okay.
We get a panel that shows Ramon, and he's kind of looking between the people gathered, and he makes very serious eye contact with Phyllis, and then just kind of like heaves a sigh and walks over and picks up a backpack and slings it onto his back, and he goes, okay, Tio, I gotta go ahead and deliver these. So I'll see you before dinner.
Ramon, your hand.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's nothing. Fell down on the bike a little while ago. Don't worry. Okay.
Be careful.
And he kind of like gives a little bit of a laugh, and he turns to Federico and he says, "You know, she actually gets more worried about me than Raquel does, if you could even believe it." And then he just kind of like casually saunters out the door, and it gives a ding behind him. And the next panel shows him like in the alley next to it, just like leaping up using some air power and getting up onto the roof to grab a little satchel that lets him start changing into his costume up there.
You know who probably sees you on top of the roof?
Probably Bucks Ferry up there.
Bucks Ferry definitely sees you up there.
Yeah, we don't have a direct communication. Like, it will have to come back and physically tell me or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, so after, like, you know, a panel of him, like, getting the dress shirt off, we've got the next one that shows him in the full costume, just taking a couple of deep breaths and going, all right, let's do this. And he pulls the mask down over his face.
It's very dramatic.
So I'm going to roll to assess the situation.
So, Jess, you rolled a 10 plus, so you get to choose 2.
What here is in the greatest danger?
Right now, nobody seems to be in danger. There is no immediate target. You can't even see the real threat. You've just heard about it. And nobody looks any kind of damaged because of the appearance of this man. He's actually been there for some time.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking, what here can I use to convince Ramon to take us along?
Oh, you could show him that you are also heroes.
Yeah, John will be like, hey, I just remembered a thing that we have to go.
Yeah, we got to do that thing.
Milk on.
And then, you know, our twins are on backwards. So
we get this really great panel of the front of the storefront and the door just swinging open and you two running out. On the next page, we see an image of this man. The man wears a lavender three-piece suit with a black shirt and a black tie. He stands with his arms held out, palms up, eyes closed, humming a long, singular note. His hair is pristine, and a zoomed-in panel shows a gold watch with a black screen and red numbers very slowly counting up. 16. 17.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This episode was emceed by me, Elsbeth Denman, and I can be found on Twitter at TheCatOnTheWall. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Windshear is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City, and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.